Welcome to Daily Living with Father Chapin, where we consider God's Word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Yes, my friend, that is what we do. Sometimes the Bible can be a bit confusing, so we bust it down like a fraction. We're asking questions like, what do these Gospels have to do with me? That's what I want to know. How can I take these Gospels and apply them into my daily living so that I can become a reflection of God's love to a world, let's face it, don't know God for sure and definitely is in deep need of more love. I want to be light in this darkness. I want to be a tool in the hand of God making present His kingdom, not someday, but today and every day. And that's what this show is all about. So glad you could join us today. Oh, we got a good one. But before we get into it, it is time for viewer mail. Our first letter coming from Dave and Karen. Dear Father, your message of Jesus feeding the 5,000 was enlightening. We love the descriptions of the other people in the painting. You're saying every day somebody in this country does something nice for somebody else today. Why don't you let that somebody be you? Well, somebody obviously did something nice for you that day with the painting. What a beautiful story. Thanks for sharing. Well, Dave, Karen, thank you for sharing. Our next letter coming from Cecilia. Dear Father Chapin, I hope you feel as well and healthy as you look on TV. I think that vacation worked wonders for you. We were disappointed that golf preempted your show last week, which, by the way, that happens every once in a while. You can always go to mydailyliving.com to catch up. The blessings we receive from your homilies are the highlight of my sister and I's week. We also enjoy your newsletter. Of course, if you decide to support the ministry, you get a monthly newsletter, especially the quote of the month and, of course, the stormy stories. Yes, Father Chapin, God did work in mysterious ways when He sent you that adorable little kitty named Stormy to brighten your daily living and those of many viewers that can relate to God's Word through your teachings and wonderful stories of the mischievous behavior of a kitty named Stormy. Now, don't let this go to Stormy's head. She already thinks she's the star of the show. In my thoughts often, in my prayers always. Cecilia. Wow. What a beautiful letter. Thank you, Cecilia, for writing. What do you say? We focus, put ourselves in the presence of God. God's got a lesson for you today, my friend. Are you ready to hear it? We're going to school. Are you ready to be the student? A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Again, Jesus left the district of Tyre and went by way of Sidon to the Sea of Galilee, into the district of the Decapolis. And people brought to him a deaf man who had a speech impediment and begged him to lay his hands on him. He took him off by himself away from the crowd. He put his finger into the man's ears and spitting touched his tongue. Then he looked up to heaven and groaned and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And immediately the man's ears were opened. His speech impediment was removed, and he spoke plainly. He ordered them not to tell anyone, but the more he ordered them not to, the more they proclaimed it. They were exceedingly astonished, and they said, He has done all things well. He makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. The gospel of the Lord. And what a gospel it is, my friend. This is a deep pool. You need to call in the kids. It's going to be good. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. You hang out. We'll be right back, and we're going to talk about this gospel and a few other things along the way here as we consider God's Word and how it is that we can apply it into our daily living. Hi, this is Father Chapin, host of Daily Living with Father Chapin. It is such a pleasure to be able to come into your home each and every week and share the good news, but it's a bit expensive. So I would ask you to consider grabbing a piece of paper and a pencil, and at the next break, I'm going to share with you some details how you can become a partner with Daily Living. And together, we can take the good news to a lost world. What do you say we get back to the show? Welcome back to Daily Living. So today we are in the Gospel of Mark, 7th chapter. Of course, we know that 7 is a holy number. And today we find Jesus encountering a deaf man and ultimately restoring his ability to both hear and speak. And this gospel has some really profound lessons for us all. Unfortunately, through the years, this gospel has come under attack over a silly detail. Because, of course, that's what unbelief does. It elevates the irrelevant. Again, Jesus left the district of Tyre and went by way of Sidon to the Sea of Galilee, into the district of the Decapolis. Now, if you look at a map of Israel, this route makes no sense. It would have Jesus going north only to loop around back in a horseshoe fashion and head south. So this has caused some critics to say, well, obviously Mark doesn't know what he's talking about. And if he got this wrong, well, who knows what else he's missed, giving rise to the ever popular idea that the Bible is written by men, as it contradicts itself. So these critics question Mark's geography as they cast doubt over the whole affair, which again, this is what unbelief does. This is the hill they choose to make their stand. Even though if you go to the very end of the Gospel of John, we read at the very end, it says there are many other things that Jesus did. But if these were to be described individually, I do not think the whole world would contain the books that would be written. So who knows? Maybe Jesus had business in Sidon that we don't know about. Or maybe he just didn't feel like climbing over the mountain that a direct route would have required. Or maybe he just wanted to stay close to the river as he traveled, you know, so he could have access to clean water. You know, it's one of those things we don't really think about much today, but there's many reasons that might explain this apparent discrepancy. So I don't know. But truth be told, I don't really care. But I do know this. If you approach Scripture with a predisposition to disprove it, if you're coming with a closed mind, my friend, well, you will. And to the one who claims Scripture was written by men and contradicts itself, I'd simply ask this question. Have you ever read it? Have you ever taken the time to sit down with a Bible, dust it off, and ask God to open up your heart and mind and speak to you as you read it? Have you ever done that? Because if the answer is no, you know, I don't want to be rude, but I'm not really interested in your opinion. Because hear me when I say, my friend, nothing will keep you in everlasting ignorance quite like contempt prior to investigation. But if you are grappling with the Scriptures, if you're trying to make sense of it, if you're coming with an open mind and you have not convinced yourself that you got it all figured out, if that's you, understand this. There will always be critics, and we can't let them steal our joy, which, by the way, I don't know if you've noticed, but one thing that I've noticed, a common denominator among critics of the Word, is that they're not happy people. And, you know, I think there might be a correlation here, because the fruit of the Spirit is joy, and joy is the mother of peace, which in the end is what we all want. Oh, sure, we might say we want to be happy, but happy don't last. We want peace, a peace which this world cannot give. That's what we want. And if that is you, my friend, if you want peace in your life, I would suggest that you take the time to wrestle with the Scripture. Start with the gospel. Maybe one of Paul's letters, or maybe a psalm, you know, the poems in the middle of the Bible. And ask God to open up your heart and mind, and the Holy Spirit will put its finger on you and speak to you, period, one-on-one. You don't need to rely on somebody like me telling you all about it. I mean, this is one of the biggest problems with religion today. People generally rely on other people to tell them the story, which, you know, that's a good thing. I mean, I'm certainly glad you're here, but this will never replace the individual who seeks Jesus through his word and meditating on his word and praying for illumination. That is how you meet Jesus face to face. It's available to you today. Again, Jesus left the district of Tyre and went by the way of Sidon to the Sea of Galilee into the district of the Decapolis. So deca means 10 and polis means city. So this is not just a city. This is a collection of 10 cities. So think about it like it's like a really big county, Decapolis, and it's considered the Badlands. This is the land of the Gentiles. These people had a treaty with Rome that if the Jews ever got uppity and started to rise up in rebellion, they would ally themselves with Rome to help put down the rebellion. So they're not friends, because the friend of my enemy is my enemy. So like I said, these are the Badlands, the land of the Gentiles. We know that Jesus has been here before. I'm reminded of the woman at the well. I love that gospel. It comes around in Lent. But in the fifth chapter of this gospel, the Gospel of Mark, we see Jesus healing the demoniac. Remember this guy? He was chained up in a graveyard. And Jesus cast out his demons, sent him into a herd of swine, which went running down the hill off the cliff and drowned. So the fact that they were herding swine would have definitely put them in the land of the Gentiles. And if you recall that story, when the people of the town saw what Jesus did, they asked him to leave. So the people in Decapolis, well, they know who Jesus is. And people brought to him a deaf man who had a speech impediment and begged him to lay his hands on him. Now, did you notice that this man does not come on his own? People brought him to Jesus. And there's a lesson right here. I mean, this very much reminds me of those friends that carried the paralytic on the mat. Remember, they made the hole in the roof and they lowered the mat down with the paralytic on it and they asked Jesus to lay his hands on it. Remember that? Can you imagine? I mean, these guys went the extra mile for that guy. I mean, do we? I mean, ever? I mean, even a little bit? Do we ever bring people to Jesus? I've heard many testimonies of somebody that got intimately involved with the suffering of another person. And at one point they said, you know, let me tell you what Jesus did for me. Perhaps he could do the same for you. Not you must accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. No, that's not what they said. What they said was, let me tell you what he did for me. In doing so, they opened up a hole. In doing so, they lowered a mat. In doing so, they brought this person to Jesus and begged that he lay his hands on that suffering. Do we ever do this? Or do we let fear and political correctness stop us? Relegating our yearly Christmas card to quote scripture as the totality of our evangelization efforts. But anyway, getting back to the Decapolis, things have clearly shifted by this time. As I had mentioned, the last time he was in the Decapolis, they were begging him to leave. But now we've got these people, this new group, presumably Gentiles, and they are bringing this deaf man with a speech impediment and begging Jesus to lay his hands on him. And it's very interesting what Jesus does here. He took him off by himself, away from the crowd, put his finger into the man's ear. Well, actually, it's both ears. Spitting touched his tongue. Now, this is a bit odd. Why would he be doing this? We know that Jesus has the power to heal however he wants to. We've seen him heal remotely. But here he seems to have this kind of ritual. What's going on with the fingers in the ear and the touching of the tongue? Well, let's start with the fact that this guy this deaf man, you know, of course he can't hear anything, and he can't speak anything. So he's been living in the shadows his whole adult life as a beggar. So he's probably pretty scared, doesn't know what's going on. So Jesus takes him away off by himself. And what does he do? He meets him where he is at. Because you see, he will meet you where you are at by putting his finger into his ears, by touching his tongue. He is communicating very powerfully in a nonverbal way. I got this. I'm going to take your suffering, and everything is about ready to change. Your present, your future, your past, in an instant. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. You stick around. We'll be right back, and we will continue to talk about this amazing gospel that comes to us here as we consider God's word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Hi, this is Father Chapin, host of Daily Living. If you feel like you're being fed by this ministry, I would ask you to prayerfully consider a partnership with Daily Living and what we're trying to do here. A monthly gift of any amount that you feel comfortable with, and I will send you a monthly newsletter, and if you provide an email address, a script of the show prior to its broadcast. Just write a check to Daily Living, P.O. Box 339, Nitro, West Virginia, 25143. You can also go on the website at mydailyliving.com and give through PayPal, and together we can shine the light of the good news in a whole lot of dark places. What do you say we get back to the show? Welcome back to Daily Living. Now, just for the break, we have these people, presumably they're Gentiles, and they're bringing Jesus, a deaf man who can't speak. And he takes him off by himself away from the crowd, gets alone. Now, you contrast that with the TV evangelist who brings some person up front in front of the crowd, puts his hand on the forehead and says, "In the name of Jesus, I say you are healed." You know, the big show. And understand, I'm not saying that Jesus does not continue to heal people today, because he does. I mean, I'm a prime example. But it's not about the crowds. It's not about the big show. It's about the person. And that is why Jesus takes this man off alone. He puts his fingers into the man's ears, spitting, touches his tongue, looks up to heaven, and he groans. Says, "Ephphatha," which means be opened. So there's a whole lot going on in just these few lines. This is like a big steak, and I'm not exactly sure where to make the first cut. So we've already determined about the fact that he has taken him off to communicate very powerfully in a nonverbal way with his finger in the ear and touching the tongue that, you know, I got this. I'm going to take your suffering. I'm meeting you where you are at. But we need to keep in mind that within the religious construct of Judaism at the time, this deaf man is cursed. He's a sinner. He's unclean. He is definitely untouchable. You touch this man, you defile yourself, and you make yourself unclean, which is exactly what Jesus is doing. He is taking this man's uncleanliness. He is taking this man's sin. He is taking this man's shame. And he's absorbing it all to himself as he is making himself unclean. My friends, welcome to the cross. And he looked up to heaven and groaned. So he took his suffering and he groaned in the same way that he groans for you and I on the cross as he takes on our own iniquity. Why? Because sin always turns to suffering. Sin is like eating rat poison every day, sickens our soul, blocks the sunlight of the Holy Spirit, and causes us to be unclean. Sin which, by the way, is defined as anything outside of God's will, stops up our ears so that we can no longer hear the quiet voice, and sin seals our lips to prevent us from speaking the truth. Sin will keep us as outcasts, untouchable, and perpetually full of shame. And it causes Jesus to groan. He looked up to heaven and he groaned and he said, "Ephphatha," which means be opened. Now, this is very profound. Now, in the Catholic Church, we have what are known as sacraments. A sacrament is defined as how God moves in this world. And there's seven of them. There's baptism, there's confirmation, there's confession, there's first communion, there's marriage, there's holy orders, and there's anointing of the sick. Now, the first sacrament is baptism, and baptism is the gateway to all the other sacraments. And it does two things. Number one, it removes original sin. But secondly, it grafts the believer into the body of Christ. Now, this is very important. So if there's anybody out there that's not baptized, you need to find a local church and get it done. Now, in the Catholic Church, we have what is called the rite of baptism. Now, during this rite, the rubrics, which are like the rules, you know, the instructions, they call for oils. There are two kinds. The first oil is called chrism, which is the one that smells really good. And the second oil is the oil of initiation, which looks like chrism, but it doesn't smell. And there is a third oil, that's the oil of the sick, but of course the oil of sick is not used in baptism. But if you're going to baptize somebody, you need chrism and you need the oil of initiation. Now the chrism comes first. It is rubbed on the candidate's forehead as the following words are said. God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ has freed you from sin and given you new birth by water and the Holy Spirit. Very much reminding me of when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus and said, you must be born again of water and spirit. The rite continues. He now anoints you with the chrism of salvation as Christ was anointed priest, prophet, and king. So you may live always as a member of his body, sharing everlasting life. Now, after that comes the presentation of the white garment and then the baptismal candle. But then there's another prayer. It's called the prayer over the ears and mouth, also known as Ephphatha, which finds its roots in our gospel today. The oil of initiation is rubbed on the candidate's ears and mouth with the words, the Lord Jesus made the deaf hear and the dumb speak. May he soon touch your ears to receive his word and your mouth to proclaim his faith to the praise and glory of God the Father. So what we're seeing here today in our gospel are the foundations of what we know as baptism today. Of course, it had been around with John the Baptist, but baptism, as we know, is the font of all sacraments. So Jesus is saying, Ephphatha, be open to this deaf man. But understand, my friend, he's saying this to us today. Ephphatha, be open. Are we opened? You know, the prophet Isaiah, a long time ago, described a time when the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Has that time come for you, my friend? I mean, understand, we are called to both hear and proclaim his word. Now, when it comes to proclaiming, you know, talking, oh, we got that down. I mean, we proclaim all kinds of things. But understand, this is not a speaking problem. This is a hearing problem because we live in a world that has an inability to truly hear. And the reason that our world doesn't hear is because our world is not listening. I mean, isn't that true? Nobody listens to anybody. Why? Because everybody wants to talk. A wise old owl sat on the oak. The more he listened, the less he spoke. The less he spoke, the more he heard. Why can't we be like that wise old bird? Let us open our ears today so that we can hear the quiet voice. Let us ask God to touch our mouth so that we can declare His praise. Yes, my friend, are you hearing His voice today? Jesus is calling you. Ephatha, be opened. Oh Lord, send us the Spirit of truth you talk about in the 14th chapter of John to teach us all things. Do not let me be conformed to this world, but rather let me be transformed by the renewal of my mind. Oh Lord, grant me the gift of listening. Touch my ears today so that I might hear your word. Touch my lips today so that my mouth can declare your praise. You know, every day in this country, somebody does something nice for somebody else. Today, why don't you let that somebody be you? Because the best vitamin for a Christian is be one. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin, and as Mother Teresa says, just a small pencil in the hand of a writing God sending a love letter to this world. Hope you can come back next week and we'll do it again. Until then, I hope you let God live in your life, and I bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.